Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women, where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the Spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Welcome to Naomi's Table, everyone. I'm Amy Spreeman, along with my co-hostess, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, today we are going to have part two of our interview with Jane Cummins, and she has written a book called A Walk into Grace, and in just a moment you're going to hear part two of her interview, and we're also giving away one of her books again today, and we're going to be sharing the winners of that next week, but stay tuned. You're going to want to find out what we talk about here at the table, and I'll tell you what, here at the table we do wrap everything we do around biblical womanhood, and we learn from the Word of God about our great Savior and of course, our high calling in the roles that he has given just to women.
And speaking of the Word of God, we also do a real Bible study here. It's one of the favorite things we do. We do have some already on the website, Old Testament and New Testament, that you could choose from if you wanted to lead your own Bible study. There's study notes and everything you could download, everything just all self-contained for you to host your own Bible study. You just need to gather the ladies together to do that. But right now, we're studying the book of 1 Samuel, and our teacher, Beth Seifert's going to be here in a little bit with today's lesson. Then Amy and I are going to talk about what we've learned and how we can apply that truth as we grow closer to God.
All right. And in this first segment, again, what we like to do is we talk about topical issues. We sometimes have interviews as we are today. And I'll tell you what, ladies, we always point you to God's Word as truth. And that's what happened to our guest today, Jane Cummins. We're going to hear from her in just a moment. But first, we want to talk a little bit about stories, because a lot of you are sharing your stories, whether it's on our Facebook page or more likely in our Google Plus area. Now, Google Plus is what we have here at Naomi's Table, and it's a private group, and only women go in there. We share a lot of very personal struggles that we have in our walk with the Lord. And I tell you what, if you would like to check that out, you can read the what we're all about at our website at naomistable.com, and you know, then take a look at that. If you agree to what we're about, go ahead and join, and we would love to welcome you and learn from God together. A lot of great stories going on in there, Nancy, and I know that every one of us has a testimony to share, and maybe some of you were raised in the church. Nancy was, she had walked away, and she shared a lot of her story yesterday, and I actually was, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was raised in as a Unitarian, and I remember my friends, Nancy, asking me, a whatitarian. So we all kind of come from different backgrounds. We all bring our baggage to the table. But what God does is he washes it all clean. And, you know, but we still have that sanctification process as we're walking through this faith. And I know, Nancy, that we've both had to really repent of some of our thinking, some of the things that we still continue to do. We always do still struggle with the flesh, don't we?
We do, and I like to say that we're like onions, because he might take the big stinky layers off first, but then as he keeps peeling, you get down to some really interesting stuff, and you know what? Pride always seems to be down there at the heart of things, and that's one of the hardest ones, really, to break yourself of. The need to be right, you know, the need to be in control, just all sorts of stuff like that are involved with it that are really tough. And, you know, another one that's really hard, especially for us ladies, is the tongue.
Yeah.
How we talk, what we talk about, things like that. I mean, just the phrases we use, just throwing out things casually that are actually talking about the holy is just a perversion, really, to use them as slang, to use them as cursing, of course. But even it says to even use the name of the Lord in vain, which means frivolously.
Yeah.
So there's so much we don't even realize. Not defending someone that you hear being spoken of maliciously, publicly, that's really a sin.
And or that's yes, or even
we don't think of.
And even staying silent when somebody is sinning. And I've just my heart's just been breaking. I have a friend who I went to church with, and she announced rather suddenly on Facebook that she was moving in with her boyfriend. And I'm thinking, oh no. What has happened? And I don't want to gossip. I'm not going to share her name, but I did say to her, boy, you know, this isn't right. I love you, but this isn't right. And I'll tell you what, the rejection you feel when you do stand up for God, when you do try to snatch a friend away from the flames, we need to do that more and more. But I'll tell you what, it does not come welcomely in many cases. And like Nancy, like you said, the pride. As women, as human beings, we like to cling to that darkness sometimes, don't we?
Yes, and like your friend, so many of us have done that, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
Even those, as you mentioned, who are walking in faith, it's like, oh, yes, God's the most important thing to me. Until a guy comes along, I really need a guy.
Yeah.
And it's like we're willing to do anything, it seems, to get that guy and keep that guy. And we don't even love him with the kind of love that we're supposed to love a spouse with.
Yeah.
And it's just all so idolatrous when you have pinned all of your hopes for happiness on having a man in your life.
Yeah.
It can be so it's idolatry. It's adultery on God is what it is. It's idolatry. It's telling God you're not enough. Yeah. I have to have that human being, that man in my life to keep me company. And we do so many stupid things, like totally ignoring all of the red flags that we see because we're looking at this man with our idealized image. And so we don't see the things that we do want that aren't there, and or the things that are there that we don't want.
Yes.
Kind of vice versa there. So it's really a dangerous thing. And I know a lot of us, like Jane, our guest today, have done that, where we have just sought our happiness in the arms of men, even one night stands,
yes,
over and over again. And it does leave a devastating impact on your heart. And that's one of the things that I'm glad that Jane does get into, those soul ties that really do just eat a little bit of you away each time.
Yeah. You know, one of the things you're going to hear in Jane's story today is the continual consequences that she's had to deal with because of choices that she's made all of her life that were not best for Jane. And you know what? If you hear your story in Jane's story today, we would love to hear from you. Every one of us has our story about grace and how God had died for us, and that realization, that moment when we put our faith in Him. We would love to hear briefly your story. We've got one more book of Jane's to give away today. We gave away one yesterday. We're going to announce the winners next week. Here's the deal. Here's what we're liking for you to do. We'd love for you to share your story. And in exchange, we're going to pick one of those stories and share with the woman this book called A Walk into Grace. And it's Jane's story of God's love, forgiveness, and redemption of life. So here's what you do. I'm going to give out the phone number and the extension, and then you'll need to call it, leave your first name and the place you're calling from. And we're going to play all of these eventually next week. But I'll tell you what, we're going to select one and let you know if you're the winner. So here's that number, and you can call this from anywhere, 1-800-979-9010. Again, 1-800-979-9010. After the interview today, I'll give that number again. The extension number is 109. Now, that will get you right to my voicemail, where you can leave a message with your brief story about your own walk into grace. And now, let's just have that interview now with Jane Cummins. Well, Jane Cummins, welcome back to Naomi's Table. So glad you're here.
Thank you for having me again.
Glad to have you back in the studio. I know that it was a drive for you, but I just really appreciate your outlook on life and your ministry that you have. Let's take ladies back to the beginning, because it's been a while since you've been on, but you've written a book called A Walk into Grace. And ladies, if you're looking for that, we've got that connected with our website. So we're not going to repeat anything here, but just want to let you know that we do have this book here, and it's about your journey, and it's about some choices that you had made. Tell us just a very brief recap of what this book is about and why you wrote it.
It's about growing up as a child, of course, and having a dysfunctional family of sorts, and learning bad choices or making bad choices because of your wounds that you had. And continuing to do that throughout your life.
Yeah, and you've learned some things. Now you are a lover of Jesus Christ, and I know that we've talked about your redemption story, but that plays such a key role in your book, because you outline all of it and how when you heard the gospel for the very first time, it's an amazing testimony. But since that, in your walk, God has been showing you things through His Word that has really helped you look at your choices now in a different light, hasn't He?
Sure. As I was going through things throughout my life, I saw it as everyone around me. It was their fault. It was society's fault of how I turned out, things that were going on. But as I came into a relationship with Christ and He started to change my heart and my life, and I was seeking Him diligently, it was kind of brought to my attention that a lot of these things that are going on in my life, consequences had to do with my choices that I made.
Yeah.
It wasn't aimed at someone else doing it to me. It's consequence of sin,
yeah,
per se.
It really is. And you outline in your book so beautifully about one of the choices that you made very early on in your adolescence was to have premarital sex. And of course, you had a baby out of wedlock, and sure, so you had to deal with those choices. But there were other consequences for that as well, wasn't there?
Yes. Because of that, I ended up with cervical cancer. I was not given very high expectations of a long, healthy life. And because of them consequences of sin, I continue to have issues with it today.
Yeah.
And it'll be something that I deal with for the rest of my life as far as medical issues and procedures and stuff like that. And it's only because I chose to search for love through sex, which causes the consequences.
Yeah, and your attitude toward those consequences now have changed a lot.
Sure.
I mean, before you were in a position where you thought, well, this just isn't fair. I've been forgiven my sins. Why? Mm-hmm. And you're seeing a lot of women who are asking those same questions now, aren't you?
Right. And I even had someone approach that same thought last week, actually, and they're sitting in a situation and they said, well, why would God allow this? And I'm thinking, did God allow this situation, or is it a bad choice that was made by you allow this situation? And so I think that's where we have to stop blaming God even and asking why God will. Yes, God allows things into our life, but there are times when we have to realize that because of choices that we're making is the reason why we're sitting in situations that we're sitting in.
Yeah, and a lot of women, and I know that every one of us has had to come to this place where we look at our own consequences for
sure,
the choices that we've made, and we actually have to now say, thank you, God, for allowing me to go through this, and thank you for forgiving me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even as I go through this stuff, I'm okay with it. I know God's in control.
Yeah.
I know there's some reason why He hasn't healed me completely in this. Does it keep me humble? Absolutely. You
yes.
know, I mean, because there's a lot of times where I can become prideful. So this is a definite humbling thing. And it also allows me to stay close to Him, very close, a lot of times, not knowing what's going on with my health at certain times. So I'm okay with it.
Mm. Jane, how is God using your story, your situation, to help you minister to other people in His name?
I just have now, as I look back and I see everywhere I've been, I just have a love and a compassion for others that are in that place. I just want to be able to hug them and just walk beside them and just say, it's a journey, but if you just allow God to change your heart and teach you and guide you, you can come out wonderful on the other side. And it may not be circumstances that you want to have.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, there have been many times where I wish things ended this way or that way, but that may not be God's plan. You know what I mean? There's healing in it. And yeah, you just have to be okay with whatever happens in your life, knowing that it's all about just trusting God in whatever He brings into your life.
Yeah.
And being able to say, okay, God, this isn't how I thought this would work out or how it would end, but if this is your plan and your will, I'm along for the ride.
Boy, and that's a far cry from where you were when you first heard the gospel for the first time you were saved. And it's been a journey, hasn't it?
It has, but you know what? It's one that I do not regret. And my disciple even said that, and I've probably said that over and over. She said, Jane, one day you will thank God for allowing you to walk down the roads you have. And I thought she was literally crazy. And I do now, because now I can look at other people going through the same thing. And I'm like, I have been there. I can relate. And who better to be able to give compassion and grace and love to these people than someone who's actually been there and can give that love, compassion, and grace.
Yeah, you've walked the path of many people now that you're running into it. And you said something earlier when we were talking off air, you talked about the least of these. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the people that you encounter now and where your heart's at with serving.
Well, I know I always felt, and when I first came to Christ, I remember reading that in Matthew about, you know, being the least of these, and we are to go out and serve these people, you know. And I always felt like I never measured up. I always felt flawed. I always felt like I was a mistake, you know. And it wasn't until Christ, and it took a long time even after coming to Christ, because I had beat myself up so much on my self-worth and identity that I still battle it. I think that might be my core issue is, you know, my worth. And because it was just so
ingrained.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so those are the ones that I just feel most led to just love them. And when it comes down to it, that's all they want. They want the unconditional love that I was seeking out.
Yeah.
And if I can show them a love and compassion and lead them to Christ, there's nothing better.
And you have done that, and we've talked before about our identity and where that comes from. And your identity, it doesn't change right away, does it? When you mm-hmm. first encounter Christ and you give your life to Him and He transforms you and He just forgives, wipes it all away, you still have to figure this walk out. What does this biblical womanhood look like? You know, as a woman, how do I walk with Him?
Sure.
Through His Word. And boy, you know, that identity just doesn't change from A to B right away, does it?
Nope. It's a daily walk. It's a daily journey. It's daily learning and daily messing up. And just as you abide in Christ, He will show you. And like I said, I still have days where I wake up and I'm either going to choose to listen to the schemes of the devil or I'm going to grab them thoughts and get them out of my head and continue to move on. And absolutely.
Yeah, there's no better way to do that, to grab those thoughts, than to open the Word and see truth. And I think sometimes Absolutely. As women, we get so busy and we get away from that. And mm-hmm. I know that you have a heart for the Word of God, and it's so important to abide at His feet through His Word, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is. And I believe it's intentional. I have even I told my disciple that I'm trying to be more intentional as far as throughout my day, staying focused on Christ, because when you're at work and like you said, women are busy and sometimes we can lose that focus. And so if we try and stay intentional as far as keeping them just right there throughout the day, it just really changes your day.
Yeah, it sure does. And I'll tell you what, it's so important to have disciplers to help you, remind you to it. And I know that you're making that shift from you've got your discipler, and we've talked about her before, and you can give her a shout out if you want. Hey, Melanie.
Hi, Melanie. I love you.
But you're also making that transition to discipling others yourself, and that's key, isn't it?
It is. And I think that I will continue to grow in that also, because I will be, as I'm speaking truth to them, I'm reaffirming that in my head constantly and hearing that. And that's what my discipler has always said, you know, even helps her that she's constantly, restating it out loud and reaffirming it in her head as she's even teaching others.
So. Yeah.
I think that's very important.
Well, I'm so glad you've written this book, A Walk into Grace, because as you've shared this with other people, and I know we're going to be doing that today as well, you talk about the what you've been redeemed from. And I think a lot of women can relate to that. A lot of women have walked this path, this same path, and maybe haven't gotten to the place where they can find that forgiveness yet.
Well, I think sometimes there's such shame in it that they're scared to bring it out into the light. And then that's where I was just wanting to be bold and courageous and say, you know what, Lord, if I can get this out there and say, look, I have a lot of embarrassing things going on in this book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would, you know, that I was like, I even really debated on publishing it, because I'm like, do I really want everybody to know the dumb stuff and the depths of it that I went through?
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know what, Lord, it's not about me. It's about you. And if I can be bold and courageous and say, look, here's what I've done. If you can step out of the darkness and bring your shame into the light where God can heal you, then it's worth it.
And I'm sure you've heard this from others who've read your book, to say, wow, if you can be healed, maybe I can be healed too. Maybe that forgiveness is for me, and maybe I can find that.
Yeah, I hear a lot of quote unquote that they can relate. And I just love that, because it, on one hand, it's sad because there's so many women out there, like you said, have been through it. But on the other hand, if they are reading this and they're relating, and then they get to the end where it's talking about the gospel,
yeah,
they're also getting gospel and learning how to forgive. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's really good. If you read this book, you're going to get the gospel.
Gospel,
that's
yes.
Important.
Yes.
Do you have another book inside you?
I'm hoping so. I'm starting to write again. I don't know if it's this is going to be it, but yes, I believe so.
Jane, how can people get a hold of you?
I have a website, www.hisamazinggrace.net. I also have a Facebook page, A Walk Into Grace, and I have an email address, awalkintograce@yahoo.com.
All right. We're going to have all those links up on our website today at naomistable.com. And in just a moment, we're going to be talking about how we've got a couple of copies, and thank you for blessing us with these. We're going to give those away to some ladies, because I think it's important to have both, and, you know, both your journey and the gospel. And it's an incredible journey, and what a beautiful thing. So, Jane, thanks again for being at the table with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy.
Well, that was Jane Cummins, and I'm sure we will have her back. Her book, by the way, is titled A Walk Into Grace, and as I said in the beginning, we have one more of these to give away. And we're just asking ladies to share their own walk into grace, and we're going to give out the phone number and the extension. What you'll need to do is call that and briefly leave your first name and your state or city, if you like, and tell us your story about your own walk into grace. We're going to play sections of those next week and announce the winners. The number is 1-800-979-9010. Again, 1-800-979-9010. And when you get to our radio station, just press 109. That's my extension, and you'll get right to the voicemail where you can leave a message. Try as many times as you like. Don't worry, we'll edit any boo-boos out. We like to do that here, and we'll play those next week. All right, well, we're going to leave that here for right now. When we come back, we are going to open our Bibles up to 1 Samuel, and Beth Seifert is going to be here with today's Bible study lesson. We'll be right back.
We equip women around the world to nurture others with the Word. Want to partner with Naomi's Table? Consider being a business partner. Details at naomistable.com. It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, we are here with Beth Seifert. She's our Bible study teacher, and she is taking us through 1 Samuel. It's a wonderful Bible study. You can find all the notes on our Bible Studies tab, along with the podcasts, and we just highly encourage you to use the materials and have your own guided Bible studies. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Thanks, Amy. Well, today we're going to finish out this first portion of the book of 1 Samuel, and we're going to leave it where it's at today with the people still without a king. We're doing that on purpose because we're going to pick up next time when we start the second part of 1 Samuel with them choosing the king and all of the things that end up happening because of that. But for today, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Verses 10 through 22. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of the thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. your men servants and maid servants, and the best of your cattle and donkeys, he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king to be over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with the king to lead us and to go about before us and fight our battles. When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, listen to them and give them a king. Then Samuel said to the men of Israel, everyone, go back to his own town. Wow. Samuel lays it all out there very clearly for the Israelites, letting them know what they are really asking. This speech of Samuel's reminds me somewhat of Pilate, as he tried to convince the Jews to let Jesus live and release him instead of Barabbas. The people know what they are being told is true. Yet they want what they want, so they aren't willing to change their minds. Incredibly, they insist that they want what is in their worst interest, not their best. The descriptions of the things the king will do are so intriguing. He will work their sons into exhaustion. Exhaustion. Not just, your sons won't be available to help in your fields, but your sons won't be available to help in your fields. Oh, and they'll be absolutely exhausted and no help at all. Don't think the sons were the only ones to be taken. A king would have use for daughters as well. Samuel is telling the Israelites, do you see what you are setting your children up for? And they don't care. They want to be like the other nations. Seriously? Why do they want to look like the other nations? As if that weren't enough, the king will also take their possessions, their food, their money, their animals and livelihood, and their servants. They are asking God to make their lives miserable and hard. They will become the king's slaves and cry out for help. But guess what? God won't help them out of this mess, because this is the consequence of the decision they are making with their eyes wide open. They know what is in store. They still claim to want it. They are warned and warned and warned to make a better choice, and they still choose poorly. And guess what? God lets them make this choice. He still has a plan here. He is still going to show them what they are really giving up. They really don't understand that being different and being set apart by God is a good thing. They want to blend. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like the other nations. I want to be set apart, different. I want to be easily discerned as a child of the creator of the universe. If someone put me on trial for being a Christian, I pray that there's enough evidence to convict me. Samuel sends these people home so that he can consult God, and after hearing what God wants him to do, he begins the search for a king for Israel. The Israelites were so enamored with what they saw around them. We see that in their idol worshiping. We see it in their acquiring multiple spouses and foreign spouses. We see it as they tried to manipulate God to win their battles by sending the ark into war. They wanted to look like the people around him. They wanted to have the cool stuff like a king. They wanted to fit in. They wanted to blend. They didn't desire to be salt and light. They desired to be indistinguishable from everyone else. Now, we've come to this point, and we're going to stop here for a while. When we pick back up in Samuel, we'll pick up right here, with Samuel searching for the king that God has chosen. We've come a long way in the past 18 lessons. We've seen God honor the pleas of a barren woman and come into her life in a powerful way. We've seen God bring judgment on a disobedient people. We've seen God raise up for himself Samuel, a prophet and judge who walked with the Lord. We've seen God wait patiently for his people to seek him again. And now we see, once again, that God's people are choosing something to satisfy their longing, something that isn't Him. But we've all been there, right? Especially through adolescence, we spend so much time trying to blend in with the people around us. Are we still trying to blend in? Have we realized yet that different is good? That different is God? Glory to Him if we're doing it right? When people learn that you're a Christian, do they act surprised? Or do people ask you, what's different about you? And are you ready to answer that question? Now, strangely enough, that's actually happened to me twice in my life. Random strangers coming face to face with me to ask, what is different about me? The first time someone asked me that question, I was probably 13, and truly I had no idea what they were even asking. Not a clue. It was only later, after pondering that question, along with pondering the fact that it seemed like a compliment at the time, that I realized what was being asked, and that I needed to be prepared to answer. Now, I'm not saying this to boast. Heaven knows there have been plenty of times that I have not acted as God would want me to since then, and have probably left people wondering, what is so different about Christians if I am an example of one? But we still need to strive to be different. We need to strive to stand out as Jesus did. Jesus didn't beat people over the head with the gospel. When they came and asked him questions, he answered them. And his difference was not full of puffed up pride, but of quiet, calm, and peace. He did seek some people out, Zacchaeus, the woman at the well, for example, and again, as he even told them their sins, he drew them to him. Jesus knew where he belonged and who he was, and his being who he was didn't depend on the people around him. Am I the same person at home, by myself, as I am when I'm at church, at work? If not, then perhaps I may be using God instead of letting God use me. And what about you? Are you the same at home, by yourself, as you are when you were at church, or at work, or at school? If not, then perhaps you might be using God instead of letting God use you. When we are used by God, you can't separate him out from yourself at home, at church, at work, or at school, or wherever you are. You can't keep God in a box and only bring him out when you want to, when it's convenient for you. So, my question to leave us with until we pick back up in Samuel is this. Do you have God in a box? Are you separating your life into sections that can exclude God so that you can blend? Do people around you know that you are a Christian? Are you being His salt and light? Or are you blending, fading into the background? Remember, ladies, the only way to blend is not to be showing His glory. His glory is radiant. It doesn't blend. And that should be our goal today, is not to blend, to be different because of Him, not because of ourselves.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.
Naomi's Table is 100% listener-supported, serving women around the world thanks to our listeners' generous gifts. Go to our website, naomistable.com, and click on the support button. And thank you for equipping us to equip women. The food is ready. Now, back to Naomi's Table.
Welcome back to the table. And in that segment prior, we had lesson number 18 in our Bible study. And the title, if you're looking for it online, is Give Us What We Want. And all those notes are downloadable there. You can do the Bible study. What Nancy and I are going to talk about next does not take the place of the homework. So go there and really get into the Word. And Nancy, what we're going to do now is just talk about, you know, kind of our impressions, what we got out of it when we really took this study to heart. What jumped out at you?
Well, the give us what we want really sums it up.
Yes.
And it's sad when you look at all the warnings they received. Work your sons to exhaustion. Take your daughters. But as Beth points out, you know what? Even though their very kids were going to be taken from them, it didn't matter. They still wanted that king, even though it was going to make their lives miserable. And the thing that really is the crux of this, they didn't understand being different. They didn't understand being chosen by God to be His chosen people. They didn't understand what it meant to be set apart from the world, from the rest of the world.
They looked at other kingdoms and coveted, and they saw something that they thought was important, that that kingdom dictatorship was surely good for those people, but that's not what God had intended for them.
The saddest statement out of this entire thing is they longed for something, and it wasn't God.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is so sad. But then again, I have to look and say, well, how many times have I longed for something and it wasn't God?
Oh, many for me, I tell you that. And I'm sure that a lot of nodding heads in the audience in agreement over that. But, you know, we do, though. We want things that aren't of God. And sometimes, unfortunately, like the Israelites, we cry out to God for those things that aren't of Him. How do we even dare to think that He would honor that?
I don't know, but you know what? We have to get over the fact that what we want is necessarily what's best for us.
Yeah.
We need to start really trusting Him that if it's something that we think we want, sure, go ahead and ask Him for it, but then always, always accept that you want His will to be done.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we want our will to be His will, and that's really not the point of praying in His will. Praying in His will, first of all, happens when you know Him and you know what His will is, and then your mind becomes aligned with the desires of His heart, and His heart becomes your heart. And we've talked about that before, and I think it's worth repeating again. Praying in His will means, what would God want? Does God want His people to be saved? Absolutely, He does. Praying that somebody you know would come to the Lord and their hearts would be softened, that's a good thing to pray for. Praying for that next new bright and shiny convertible car, well, even though He knows that you might need transportation somehow, maybe not necessarily for worldly possessions.
And one of the biggest things we need to pray for is for our own spiritual development,
Absolutely.
Our own spiritual growth.
Yeah.
Remember what Jesus said, your Father in heaven already knows what you need, and He will provide it from day to day if you seek His kingdom and make that your primary concern. And when you look at the thing that the Israelites were rejecting, which is being different, having God as their king, having God as their leader and their guide, being holy, pursuing holiness, rather than just wanting to blend in and be like everybody else. And Beth asked some really tough questions there at the end about how uncomfortable are we at standing out.
Yeah.
We should be standing out. We should be having others notice us. Not because we're trying to be all big and showy and praying on the street corners and announcing to the world that we're Christians. You know what? We shouldn't have to announce that we're Christians.
Yeah.
Our very lifestyle, our very demeanor, the way we treat others, the love that we have for others, the concern, the care, all of those things, our pursuit of morality. And that holiness of God, all of those things should mark us as quite different from those around us in the world.
And it might be good to revisit the fruits of the Spirit. How do we know that somebody is a Christian? Is she displaying the fruits of the Spirit? And might I remind you that the fruits of the Spirit, not a checklist, and you're going to find that out in today's homework part of today's lesson if you download the notes, but no, the fruits of the Spirit cannot happen set apart from the Holy Spirit. So if you're pursuing Him, if you're pursuing that holiness, He will help you, and He will endow you with those fruits because they'll just naturally flow from you.
Yes, and it's not a pick and choose list either.
No, it's not.
The fruit of the Spirit, meaning you have all of these things. And yeah, I know. I particularly struggle sometimes with the self-control one. So
I'm that gentleness one, but gentleness?
Yeah, well, me too sometimes. But I mean, we all have some that really catch us up that we still need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit on getting more into us so that we are reflecting the image of Christ more and more to the world.
And how do we do that? Well, what we don't do is bring the world in. What we do is we set ourselves apart so that we are abiding. It's very, very difficult to abide at the feet of Christ and know Him while dabbling in the world and doing all the things that are, you know, just satisfying our flesh or our appetites or whatever it is. Very, very hard to serve both. You can't do it. Jesus Himself said, you can't serve God and money. That's another one that ensnares many of us.
Yeah, and you can't have one foot on the narrow path and one on the broad.
Yeah.
If you're not all the way on the narrow path, then you are all the way on the broad path.
Exactly. Oh, it is not easy. It's not an easy walk, but I'll tell you what, it is so worth it just to run that race well. And you don't have to do that alone. We are here for each other. And that's one of the nice things about having a virtual radio ministry here is that we can connect with one another. And in fact, a lot of you are doing that over at the Naomi's Table Google Plus group. I would just invite you there. There are so many friendships being forged across nations from women who are in the same path, in the same trying to walk the narrow path with God and sharing those challenges and sharpening one another.
Yes, and maybe we can help each other with developing that answer that Beth said she realized she needed at age 13 when someone said, "What's different about you?" Isn't it Peter, I believe, who says in his epistles that we need to be prepared at all times to give an answer for the hope that is within us?
Mm, and you know, I wasn't prepared in that way myself until very recently. I was playing church. I couldn't have answered that question if I had a test the next day and could prepare for it. So, but I tell you what, it does flow naturally once you understand who the Holy Spirit is. You want to talk about Him. You want to talk all the time about Jesus, and that's that love, that part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that just it's such a blessing to have, such a treasure.
It is. But you know what? If you're talking about Him a lot, but you're not cooperating with His transformation of you into the very image and likeness of Christ, then you are only doing half the story there and not the most important part.
Well, and I'll tell you what, the biggest part of transformation, and you need to keep this in mind, it's already happened when He breathed life into you, when He revitalized your dead bones and breathed you right into life for the first time. Do you remember that? And keep that memory in mind because that is such a huge miracle and you can be thankful for that.
I really liked our guest story today about that, about how God really rescued her from her life. And He will do it for anyone out there that is listening right now. You just need to acknowledge your sins, repent of them, turn away, do a 180 away from them, and surrender to Him as your Lord.
Amen. Well, I think that's a good place to take a break. When we come back, some final scripture verses to strengthen your day and nourish your walk.
We equip women around the world to nurture others with the Word. Want to partner with Naomi's Table? Consider being a business partner. Details at naomistable.com.
Got a minute? This is Pat Hess, and I'm here at Naomi's Table with a Matthew Minute. Matthew 23, verses 13 through 17. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and then when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it's nothing, but if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools. Ouch. It must stink to be a scribe and a Pharisee. Yet, once again, it's easy for me to look at what they did and gloss over what I do. Jesus uses some rather stiff language here. In fact, he would probably be rebuked by some today for not loving. However, we know that Jesus is loving. God loved these scribes and Pharisees as he loved the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He loved them so much that he was willing to speak to them in a manner that must elicit a response. I'm Pat Hess, and Minute by Minute, we'll explore the book of Matthew at Naomi's Table.
No junk food served here. Now, back to Naomi's Table.
Welcome back, and I'm glad you ladies could stick around and listen to the final segment, because what we like to do is share scripture. And Nancy, you've cracked that right open there to Romans. What do you have there?
I do. Well, we're going to do a little bit of the homework verses for you, but I'm going to back it all the way up to Romans 11:33 and take it through 12:2. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Ladies, are we those living sacrifices? Are we those living testimonies to God with our whole entire beings? Well, that's what we're here to talk about every day here at the table, and we hope this show really blessed you today. Listen, we're going to take a break, and that means the whole weekend stretches out in front of us. I hope you can spend some time with the Lord this weekend in his word and at his feet. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you back here on Monday.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.